Welcome to Virtual Economy, a podcast about the business of games for the rest of us. We're your hosts. I'm Michael Footer.
And I'm Amanda Farrow.
On each episode, we'll cover the biggest business beats and bring in expert commentary from lawyers, analysts, and industry pros. This is a very special episode 114. Phil Spencer is going to be Bobby Kotick's business daddy. Alrighty, so Amanda and I are here. We woke up this morning, I grab my phone from the nightstand, and I see a tweet that just says, Wall Street Journal reporting Microsoft in plans to buy Activision Blizzard. And we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. That's okay, sure. What?
Yeah, and I mean, my response to that was, you know, around regulation, and yeah, okay, like, regulators are gonna let this happen.
Yeah. And then they clearly have quite a bit of confidence that it's going to get through, because shortly after that, Microsoft announced the deal.
Yep.
They held a call at 6 a.m. Pacific, which I listened to. And here we go. Microsoft is planning to purchase Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion cash. A lot of bells for Tom Nook.
Yeah, that's $95 per share.
It is, and prior to today, that was quite the premium. It's still a premium. Activision share price is up 30% on the day. 30% on the day. They are right now down 11%, almost 12% on the year. But on July 21st, the day after the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing filed its suit and the avalanche began, They were at $91.17. So as of right now, they're only, like, what, $8 off? They've recovered most of the ground that they lost due to a toxic work environment on the news of this acquisition. Microsoft has fudged a little bit. They're down a couple percent, but that's nothing.
Not in comparison to what happened with Take-Two and Zynga, that's for sure.
Right. They're down still, aren't they? And I know Strauss Zelnick made some comments that he's not worried about it. And quite frankly, I don't think he should be worried about it. I think the market's reacting to the price tag, which you talked about so eloquently, that Zynga is probably overpriced. And as we discussed on yesterday's episode, our season premiere, so holy crap, this is quite the news, that Take-Two probably doesn't want to find themselves in another Codemasters situation.
No. And they don't want to be left on the outside when it comes to mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to talk about Take-Two and Zynga just yet. We'll loop back on that.
I do
want to talk about the importance of mobile in all of this, because I think that, honestly, one of the things that kind of fell by the wayside with the reactions from analysts and media alike is King's a big piece of this puzzle. It's not just about Activision Publishing. It's not just about Blizzard. King is enormous.
It is.
Let's talk about the deal itself, because That's a lot of bells for Tom Nook. When is this deal slated to close if it passes muster from the FTC?
If it does. Excuse me. Oh, that post-COVID, man. The deal, they are being pretty reasonable about this. It's not looking to close until 2023, which, by the way, is an entire Activision fiscal year.
It is.
Because they are on the calendar year. Their fiscal year starts on January 1 and ends on December 31st.
So that's not the case for Microsoft.
It's not. Microsoft is in the middle of its year. In fact, it's getting ready to report their Q3 next week, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
So here are some things that you should remember about this. First of all, the $68.7 billion price tag makes this far and away the largest gaming acquisition by a factor of more than five.
It's five Zyngas.
It's five and change Zyngas. It's five Zyngas and throw in an extra half of French Jabot or something like that.
It's five Zyngas and a LucasArts.
It's five Zyngas. Also, maybe we'll bring Mafia Wars back.
I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah. So actually, I do know how I feel about that. Don't do that.
So this is going to be a recurring theme in our conversation. This deal is not going to close until 2023. And here's what that means. The two companies, and we talked about this when Bethesda happened, right?
Yeah.
The two companies must operate independently until the deal closes. They cannot collude. They can't coordinate, because that's called jumping the gun. They're both operating. They're both public companies. They're both operating with inside information.
Yeah.
Which means they could very easily manipulate the stock price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be tantamount to insider trading.
It would be. And in fact, there could be some criminal penalties involved if they don't handle this properly. So you will not see any collusion at all. Any coordination. Collusion doesn't necessarily need to be a bad word, by the way. But there's going to be no coordination between Activision and Microsoft until the day the deal closes.
Yep.
So this makes Microsoft the third largest gaming company by revenue behind Tencent and Sony. Now, that's also going to be important as we talk about regulators.
Indeed. So another big move is in the organizational structure.
It is. Phil gets a new title, and I guess assuming a promotion price, you know, salary bump and all that fun stuff.
I would imagine so. So he will now be the CEO of Microsoft Gaming.
You know what? I'm actually really glad for him, not just for the new title and not just for the new salary, but head of Xbox was the worst title.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that for a long time. It's like, it does not communicate how important gaming is to Microsoft. This
does.
This really fulfills all
it's
the promises.
It's its own business unit officially.
Yes. Which is great, because it had been lumped in with other stuff.
I'm really hoping that this is going to be a completely selfish thing for me to say, but I'm really hoping that they will give us better data as a result of this actual extraction of Microsoft Gaming as its own official business unit, much like Azure is its own business unit. Well, it's like Azure and
productivity
and all that nonsense, you know, but I'm really hoping that they will take gaming and put it in its own category now.
I really hope so. This is a fulfillment of promises that both Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft, and Phil Spencer, formerly head of Xbox, now CEO of Microsoft Gaming, have been making to the gaming community in general. It started with Xbox. It started with reforming and reclaiming the Microsoft gaming reputation on consoles after the abysmal Xbox One failures, all the way up to the Xbox One X, which I do not think got enough credit. It came very late in the generation. I think Microsoft had already put itself behind the ball.
It was a damn good console.
It was. And it still is.
Yeah,
and now the Xbox Series S, the extra small, and the Xbox Series X are both fantastic consoles. But most importantly, the commitment to PC gaming here.
Yeah, because they're by creating this Microsoft gaming business unit, it's not just about Xbox, the console. It's about gaming at Microsoft, which includes both Windows and Xbox.
Mm-hmm. They released a new org chart today.
Yeah, that's a big one.
For just the Microsoft gaming
people.
So that doesn't include Bethesda Studios, doesn't include what might happen with Activision, and we're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that in a moment.
But there are 13 people listed on this sheet here.
Yes, and I believe that 7 of them are women.
Yeah. So more than 50%.
Yes.
Which is absolutely great.
And we have 2 women of color on there as well, including the exceptional Sarah Bond, who is just so much fun to listen to anytime that she's on an Xbox live cast of any kind. I always love listening to what she has to say.
So here is what the official press release had to say. Bobby Kotick is staying on as CEO with the Activision Blizzard business unit reporting directly to Phil. So we joked in the title about Phil Spencer being Bobby Kotick's business daddy, but assuming that Bobby Kotick lasts past day one,
which he may not,
and we'll talk about that because there were some reports that came out as the day went on from the Wall Street Journal.
Absolutely.
But right now, and this is all we will hear, I suspect, officially, until, because Microsoft does not have the ability to terminate Bobby Kotick until he's there. Bobby Kotick's not going to leave Activision as CEO until the deal is done. And as shitty as he is, and believe us, we know how shitty he is.
If you've listened to literally any of our show, especially since July of last year, you know our feelings about Bobby Kotick.
Yep.
And what a bottom feeding dirtbag he is.
So this was resurfaced, and I think Stephen Totilo surfaced this last year when all of this was going on. And then
it was resurfaced today. It was resurfaced today by, was it Calvin that resurfaced it?
Yeah, Alex Calvin.
Alex Calvin resurfaced
it. So there are a number, and we talked about this extensively on the show last year. So there are a number of payouts that Bobby Kotick would get if he dies. I'll just let that one sink in. Well, if he dies, his estate would get $252.2 million. If he is disabled, like permanently disabled, he would get $253.9 million.
Now, if he is terminated by Activision Blizzard for cause, which we are all rooting for, but it's looking less and less likely, he will walk away with $264,000.
Now, that's not even cash in his pocket. That's the value of benefits. That's extending his health insurance, life insurance, and all that stuff like that. Right?
Exactly. And I believe that based on that information, does he also forfeit his $390 million in stock?
No.
So he still walks away with all his stock.
So those are his. Those are not options. That's what he owns. Remember, he's like the largest shareholder.
Yeah, that tracks.
So if he is terminated for good reason, or if he leaves.
Without cause or termination
by employee for good reason. So if he leaves for good reason, or if he's terminated without cause, he walks away with $265 million. Now here's the kicker. His best potential payout is if he's terminated by Activision Blizzard without cause or termination if he terminates for good reason following a change of control. And that's what this is. When we talked about this last year, we said this would never happen. Who's going to buy Activision? He walks away with almost $293 million.
Do we submit our show when we talked about that as tweets that didn't age well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do. Because we really are like, okay, come on. Like that one's not going to happen, right?
Like, who would do this?
Well,
oh, wait.
Here we are. And I think this was even before everything that happened in July. This is the Say on Pay stuff. Right?
Because we've been talking about this for ages. We started talking about this, I think, in 2020, for crying out loud, with regards to Say on Pay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we've been at this for a little while now.
So let's be real here. And I don't want to sugarcoat this. Bobby Kotick could walk away with that last column in this chart of $293 million.
Plus $390 million in stock.
So he could walk away with almost a cool bill. Because all of his shares are going to get purchased for $95 each.
One person who was complicit, not only in toxicity, but in an indirect way, for a woman's death.
This is also the guy who won't hire on 12 QA workers at Raven that were unfairly terminated.
Yeah. That's why they keep striking.
Yep, and they are still striking, as we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, actually, Shannon, like we talked about yesterday, if you want to see all of the details about what's been going on with that strike, Shannon Liao over at the Washington Post is doing an incredible job chronicling what is going on there.
Absolutely. So what's wild about this is we just came off recording the show and last week's news about Take-Two purchasing Zynga, and it was the largest deal. It was, what, $12.7 billion?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That was the largest gaming deal.
I think it was
$11.7 billion.
Making it almost a cool 12 bill. But we're thinking about this in terms of, like, we've already seen some enormous acquisitions, even from Microsoft. Let's look at the Bethesda acquisition, the ZeniMax.
Right, and that was $7.5 billion, and at the time was the largest gaming acquisition, right?
Yeah, at the time it absolutely... Well, was it? No, I think it was. Yeah. Mm. It might have been outstripped by Tencent, actually. Their $81.6% investment in Supercell. Hold on. I will confirm that.
All right. So it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest. And then of course we've got Take-Two and Zynga, and now less than a week later, we're sitting here talking about Microsoft and Bethesda.
Yeah, $8.6 billion was the investment in Supercell.
And it was majority control.
Yeah, 81.6% investment.
So it depends on how you split the hair, I guess.
I mean, this is me. I tend to like very precise things. Mm-hmm.
But I would say that, yes, it was not the largest transaction, no. Bethesda. It was one of the largest transactions.
Correct.
All right. So you asked the question about antitrust regulation. Now, here's what I want to throw out. We talked about how they will become the third largest company. Tencent, based in China. They do have U.S. operations. Okay, that's one thing. Sony Interactive Entertainment is based in the United States.
Yes.
They're out in California. That puts Microsoft at number three. So that's one thing to consider. They are not the largest. Sony is still a major player. Is there a duopoly at that point? I don't think so. I think because you have to consider EA and now, of course, Take-Two with Zynga. There are still major players, and we're going to talk about consolidation in a minute.
We have to talk about consolidation. Yep. I think that that's an incredibly important thing to chat about.
But I want to turn your attention outside the gaming industry for a second to Disney and Fox. Now, of course, Disney had already purchased Marvel, they had purchased Lucas, and then they purchased Fox for about $72 billion. So even more than this.
They purchased Lucas for a song.
They purchased Marvel for a song, especially with what's going on now and how much Marvel content is worth.
And that's an immense amount of consolidation.
Yep.
It absolutely is. And when we were talking all those years ago, when we were talking about Fox and Disney, we were like, where's the antitrust suit? What is going on here? Why are they not being called into question? And they were just greenlit.
Yep.
It seemed like they were just like, see ya.
So realistically, I don't see this is going to meet a whole lot of... I think there's going to be scrutiny, but not a ton of pushback.
So why do you think that is?
I think they would have a hard time justifying. I think the only thing that works against Microsoft in this case is the fact that Microsoft got slammed for being a monopoly at the beginning of the beginning of the century.
Yeah, in 2001, they were slammed for being a monopoly.
So my question here is that going to come back and bite them? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that they're going to have a problem.
It was 20-odd years ago, but even from like a legal perspective, and obviously as a Canadian, I am not super familiar with how antitrust laws work in the United States. But I do know that your government is sincerely calling into question what's going on at Facebook. What makes Microsoft any different?
Because this is one piece of Microsoft's business. And I think that I think entertainment, and I don't think regulators are paying a lot of attention to entertainment right now.
And they should be.
They should be. But they're not. And I think Microsoft could easily come back and say, you let Disney buy Fox. You let Disney buy Fox and you didn't have a problem with it and you're giving us a hard time?
It sets a dangerous precedent. But at what point? And so let's talk about consolidation then.
Okay.
If we're beyond the antitrust thing and you think that it's going to be given the green light based on Disney and Fox, which I don't disagree with.
There might be some friction, but I think it's going to happen. I won't be surprised if suddenly someone's got an issue.
Right.
But I also don't believe that it's going to be so severe that it's going to jeopardize the deal.
Yeah. And like that's all well and good.
At least in the United States, we'll see what Europe has to say.
That's where I think the clincher might be, because I know that they did have issues with the Bethesda or with the ZeniMax purchase.
They looked at it, yeah.
And they gave it some sincere scrutiny before they gave it the green light.
Yeah. And I
more than the United States.
And
did.
We're gonna talk about some of the positioning that's happened. And here's why I don't think it's gonna be as much of an issue. And you mentioned it, King. Because if Microsoft starts focusing on King.
They're not just focusing on King, they're focusing on metaverse stuff too, which they I think are. Is
oh,
some
yeah, yeah,
CY.
That, call.
That was some CYA nonsense right there.
It was, and I think it was very tactical, unsurprisingly. All right.
So let's talk about consolidation because we're sitting at a point where EA has purchased a number of studios. Obviously, Take-Two has just announced that it is going to be purchasing Zynga.
Mm-hmm.
There's some major money moves that are happening here.
Interestingly, I think Strauss Zelnick might be looking at this and going, crap, we definitely overpaid because EA just bought Glue, so they're probably not going to come in and buy it. Ubisoft doesn't have the capital to buy Zynga, I don't think.
No, probably not. Not considering what goes into their research and development.
So with Microsoft off the board.
Yes, because they cannot purchase.
They're not going to purchase Zynga and King. Like, they can't.
No, they can't. That I think would create some enormous friction.
Absolutely. Like, if Microsoft had stepped up the bid and said, we'll pay $13 billion for Zynga, okay. I could see that given their interest in moving into mobile, and there's a reason, and we'll talk about that, why mobile is of such interest to Microsoft right now.
Right.
But so I think the King aspect of things is going to insulate them a bit. I also think Blizzard is going to insulate them a bit. Because
how?
Microsoft doesn't have an MMO.
No.
And World of Warcraft is arguably one of Blizzard's biggest products.
It's not arguably, it just is.
Right. Which takes us to Call of Duty.
Right.
Hold that thought on Call of Duty. But let's talk about consolidation.
We have to talk about consolidation because we're in a really weird and dangerous zone, I think.
So Embracer has been obviously a regular story for us.
Yes.
The amount of little nibbles that they've doing. And relatively, these are little, like Embracer's nibbles are little compared to what Microsoft has been doing over the past X number of years, right?
Yeah.
You've got Sony making swings. Again, not swings of this magnitude, but picking up very strategic, very smart studios.
Sure. They picked up a number of them in 2018. That mm-hmm. was when they did the bulk of their acquisitions. Yep. Not to say they haven't done any since then, because they obviously have.
Yeah. Making it official with Insomniac was a big deal for them, obviously.
For Sony, you mean.
For Sony, yeah. But Microsoft, of course, started with their big push. They brought in Undead Labs. They brought, which is State of Decay.
Playground
was another huge one. Again, a no-brainer there because...
considering how closely they've worked
with Turn 10, yeah.
Yeah, with Turn 10, I think that's really important. There were some, like, Ninja Theory
was a great pickup for them.
It really was.
But there's also a tech angle to the Ninja Theory pickup.
There is, absolutely, because we've seen what they're going to be doing with Senua, with
yep.
the new game, and that looks unbelievable. I can't believe that's a video game.
Yeah.
I'm still reeling from that one.
Did you finish the first one?
No, I had to walk away from it. It got a little too intense for me.
Okay.
And not because it's not a good game, but because it's extremely immersive and it mm-hmm. just ended up...
The binaural audio.
It ended up really messing with me and it ended up messing with my mental health a little bit. So I had to walk away from it.
Yeah.
I might go back. I'm healthier now. So, you know, there might be something going on there. So talking about these little nibbles.
Right, so Compulsion and Double Fine and In Exile and Obsidian. And you see
and
Microsoft...
Obsidian isn't a little nibble.
No, it isn't. It's a very strategic one. And the reason I bring up Obsidian is because when you look at the PC angle of what Microsoft has been doing, they've been buying a lot of studios that make a lot of sense for console or equally make sense for Xbox and PC.
Obsidian was the one that really... was the big question mark, though, because for the most part, they have been very, very PC-oriented
mm-hmm.
for Absolutely. A number of years.
Absolutely. Now, of course, their more recent games have been on console, but Blizzard, again, we've seen Diablo 2, Diablo 3 is on console, Overwatch obviously being big. I cannot believe we're sitting here and we're talking about Activision after the last 6 months.
I can't believe it either. I just... We're in this place where we don't want to talk about Activision Blizzard.
But now we're talking about Microsoft's angle. It's just, it's mind-blowing. Today
I
has
don't know.
Been
it's
a
galaxy.
Mind fudge.
It's like galaxy brain,
yeah.
But also it hurts.
So why... So we've got all this consolidation, right?
So why is this... From my perspective, mm-hmm. the consolidation... It feels bad for developers.
Well,
what
the
does
history...
this mean?
It depends on whether all of these larger companies, and I'm talking about EA picking up Glue, I'm talking, and Codemasters, I'm talking about Microsoft with all of its acquisitions, Sony with all of its acquisitions, you know, so we've got EA, we've got now Microsoft/Activision, we've got Take-Two, Embracer on, you know, focusing on a lot of smaller companies.
A lot of double A's.
To me, we've run in this cycle in the past. And we have seen this cycle play out where you have consolidation, you have some bumps in the road, and then you have layoffs and studio closures. And Microsoft has been at the heart of that, Lionhead,
yep.
right? EA has been in that. Yep. Activision has been in that.
Well, and they haven't closed a studio in a while. Instead, they just consolidated all into Call of Duty.
Okay, and let's talk about that because one of the things, I'm going to jump ahead. On the call, Phil was talking about all the teams he's very excited to work with. He's excited to work with Blizzard. He's excited to work with King. He's excited to work with Call of Duty. That team was Activision Publishing, and that used to be, and I used to walk in and talk to Eric Hirschberg at E3 mm-hmm. or at Gamescom, and they used to have the big posters on the wall.
Of course,
and
pillars.
Was, yeah, the pillars, and it was Call of Duty,
yeah.
and it was Guitar Hero. And it was Destiny, and it was Skylanders. And you had something for a variety of audiences. And over the years, and I know that people listening have probably seen this drumbeat today, Activision has contracted and contracted and contracted its offerings. And it's not to say there aren't multiple Call of Duty games in effect right now. There's the annual release, there's Warzone, there's Call of Duty Mobile.
Sure.
I think that that Activision has stumbled in its esports offerings.
I think that it's more than just a stumble in the esports offerings. I think they had no idea how to keep it going.
And here's the thing that blows my mind. The confidence that the Activision board has had in Bobby Kotick, Blizzard hasn't shipped a goddamn game.
No, we haven't seen hide nor hair of anything out of Blizzard for far too long.
Overwatch 2 was supposed to be out a couple of years ago. Diablo 4 was supposed to be out a couple of years ago, and here we are. Also, let's talk about it.
Also, working under quarantine does create its own messages.
And I agree, but this is even pre-quarantine stuff, where we have, I mean, remember that disastrous, you were there at BlizzCon.
I was.
That disastrous keynote.
It was.
And where is Diablo Immortal right now?
I have no idea. I think they went into alpha as far as I know, but I haven't heard hide nor hair of it since then. I was actually very interested to take a look at it because I want to see it from a tech perspective.
Me
Does
too.
This function on mobile and what kinds of design decisions are they making? But I was there. I was there in, I think it was what, 2018?
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the audience when this happened, and it was...
Don't you have a phone?
It was nuts. I wasn't in that part of
I mean,
the
I get why he was
center.
I get why he was saying it. He was shocked at I don't think he was prepared by the people who sent him out on stage for that level of negative reaction.
And of course, and part of it is the partnership with NetEase, and part of it is we know who you're catering to, and it's not to Diablo fans.
Which,
and you know what? I'm touching
that's
on
gatekeeping.
It's totally gatekeeping, and I'm touching on a lot of that with regards to is China a good bet these days in my trends piece, which should be going live probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the consolidation thing really is something that I'm bothered by because as we have seen in the past, the consolidation happens and then the layoffs happen.
Yeah, and I think...
And we have gone 2 years, 2 years without any... significant layoffs in this industry.
I think there's been a lot of, and I know this because my DMs have been a thing today, and I'm just getting the sense from watching our industry friends talk about this. I mean, there was some talk about like the PR Discord being in disarray because, of course, people had to move today. Like, this was the day if you had good news to announce, you delay it. If you had bad news to announce, you rush it out the door. You take out the trash on a Tuesday.
For me, it was a Tuesday.
Exactly. So our worry about consolidation is twofold. One, you're putting a lot of power in very few hands.
Yep. And I think makes that the rich richer, as they say.
As long as Phil Spencer stays true and as long as Game Pass continues to be the value that it is, we don't have a problem. But what happens when Phil Spencer leaves? What happens when priorities change? What happens when they get past this acquisition phase, this user acquisition phase, and they start to realize... Because look, the content... And let's talk about it. They announced today there's 25 million Game Pass subscriptions. That's nothing to sneeze at, folks.
5 years.
It's been five years.
25 million subscribers in 5 years is almost unheard of.
Yep, and we're going to talk about, and we talked about...
And I'm talking about that in my trends piece.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about Steam yesterday, right?
Yes, we
did. And we have NPD to talk about on the next full news show, because Matt put that out, the full year and the December stuff today.
Yeah.
We know that Game Pass is not hurting... game sales.
No, it's not. It's complementing game sales.
It is.
It's getting people to explore games that they might not necessarily have looked at before, and then when the game is ready to leave Game Pass, they're like, oh shoot, I love this game. I gotta go buy it.
Yeah, but where are they buying it? And this is the thing we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other piece of it is Matt Piscatella told us when last we talked about NPD, and I'm sure he would echo the same sentiment again, that Game Pass is a force multiplier.
It is.
For buzz, if a game is good and it reviews well, it does even better. However, if a game is not good and it gets bad buzz, that actually hurts it even more. It's just a signal booster. It's a very powerful signal booster. Now,
absolutely. Just like PlayStation Plus was for quite a long time.
And we'll see what happens with this Spartacus, which Phil Spencer said, I think it was today, that he thinks it's a good idea. Well, of course he thinks it's a good idea. Now Microsoft technically has first mover advantage. Sony's playing from behind. And also, if you can standardize the idea of being on subscriptions, what he said on the call today was he talked about how this all speeds the flywheel. So more content going to Game Pass satisfies the people who are already on, increases the buzz, woos more people in, encourages more developers to put their games on Game Pass, and it just grows and grows and grows.
It does, and it honestly is one of those things when we talk about user acquisition and user retention, so that you can combat attrition. You know, that's usually an astronomical number, and the fact that they are on this flywheel, so to speak, with regards to Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass now, it's almost unfathomable what they can do, especially given that treasure trove of dormant IP.
Absolutely. So what they said today was, quote, as many Activision Blizzard games as possible will be on Game Pass. That includes new games and catalog, and boy, there's a catalog there. Obviously, some big questions popped up. One was World of Warcraft. While I do see a potential for temporary subscriptions or trial subscriptions, or we're going to give you a free month to give it a try as part of a Game Pass perk.
Sure.
I don't think World of Warcraft subs are going to be included in Game Pass.
No, I sincerely doubt it. That's not how you end up paying for that ongoing content and the research and development that goes into World of Warcraft as well.
Yeah, I don't see a situation anytime soon, although I wouldn't, of course, rule anything out long term, where WoW loses its sub fee.
No, I don't either. Just like I don't see a world in which Final Fantasy 14 loses its subscription fee.
No, it's too important to the ongoing development. It's too important to Square Enix's bottom line.
Indeed. And I mean, the big question mark now, if we're talking about IP and we're talking about, you know, things that will potentially make it over, what do you think is going to happen with Battle.net?
That's my big question. In fact, Inverse reached out today. I sent them a lot of stuff back. They took a little snippet of it for the story. And one of the things that I talked about that wasn't cited was my question about Battle.net. I think long-term, Battle.net goes away.
Yeah.
I think they integrate it into Xbox Live.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, look, the Battle.net launcher has been a staple for many, many years at this point. And more importantly, like it was a cultural stamp from Blizzard. But Blizzard hasn't needed that cultural stamp for a number of years.
It's going to require obviously the new Xbox app, which we talked about yesterday, and a way to migrate data over.
Yeah.
So that's one
much piece. Like Destiny needed you to do if you were moving Destiny 2 or even the original Destiny over to Steam.
Yep, exactly. So obviously there's a lot of talk about exclusivity. Phil Spencer says to Bloomberg, quote, I'll just say to players out there who are playing Activision Blizzard games on Sony's platform, it's not our intent to pull communities away from that platform, and we remain committed to that. Now, here's why that's important. We'll talk about NPD later this week, on the weekend. For 2021, two Call of Duty games were in first and third place for the year.
Right.
So, two schools of thought. One, oh, well, we can just make Call of Duty exclusive and all those people will buy Xbox consoles or whatever and they'll just play on our platform. The other school of thought is you're abandoning a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Call of Duty might be one that stays multi-platform.
I have a feeling that for games, and I think that actually, obviously, you know, World of Warcraft is not conducive to a console environment, like for the most part.
Right.
I can't imagine raiding on an Xbox. That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, although Final Fantasy 14, there are people who swear by playing on console.
And I get it, console. But it's a completely different interface.
Absolutely.
So I think that the thing to keep in mind here for me is that there have been people that are comparing what's happening with ZeniMax and therefore with Arkane and with Bethesda to Activision Blizzard. And I don't think that those two are really comparable in terms of like, oh, well, they're going to make it, they're going to make Call of Duty exclusive. They will make Bethesda's single player experiences exclusive to Xbox. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
They're single player. You don't need to worry about interoperability. But when it comes to multiplayer experiences, especially one as large as Call of Duty and Call of Duty Warzone, Why would you insulate that and leave all that money on the table?
Right. So I don't think Warzone's going anywhere. I don't think annual releases are going anywhere, especially
I don't think
if
so
there's
either.
An established marketing deal with Sony.
Yeah.
Because Sony has been the primary platform for Call of Duty for a while. I expect, and I may be wrong, but here's what I believe is going to happen. Overwatch 2 on console will be an Xbox exclusive. Maybe it'll eventually go to Switch. I think Diablo 4 will be an Xbox exclusive. maybe it'll eventually go to Switch because of that relationship. I don't think those games are going to be PlayStation games.
And see, I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree because, I mean, not for Diablo, because I actually do think Diablo would make more sense to have it as a console exclusive for Xbox and a time, or whether or not that's a timed exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo makes a ton of sense. Overwatch, on the other hand, because there is that interoperability, I don't see how that makes sense, especially from an esports perspective.
They're not cross-platform play, though.
I know they're not cross-platform play, but... If we, and I don't think they ever broke this down into platforms so that we could take a look at what those sales looked like, but I know that a ton of people did play and do still play the original Overwatch on PlayStation consoles. It's a multiplayer game. I can't imagine that they would want to insulate a multiplayer experience for a specific console. I think that it would be, from my perspective anyway, I feel like that would be foolish.
We'll see. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, and you and I don't have to be of the same mind.
No. And of course, neither of us know the calculus that's going on at Microsoft right now.
No, certainly not.
So I think it's going to be case by case regardless. I think I think if Microsoft and Activision pull from Activision's back catalog, I am saying it now that I can actually say this, once Microsoft owns Activision and hopefully Bobby Kotick's out the door, Skylanders coming back, the original games, without the toys, where you have to unlock the characters with in-game currency. I mean, look, I have, like, almost every toy, but nobody wants to. Like, those games were great. Those games deserve to be recaptured. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Cool.
All right, so what else we got?
We need to talk about... We need to talk about a couple of different people, actually. Right. The first of which is the closer himself.
Yeah.
Rod Ferguson making that move back to Microsoft.
Yes.
Because he worked on Gears.
He did. He was brought in for Gears. He worked at the Coalition. Also, Adam Fletcher worked with him closely at the Coalition. Adam's now working over on the Diablo team. So it's cool that both of them are going back. However, Mike Ibarra. I don't think he survives.
No.
I don't think he survives the reintegration.
No, there, as far as I know, I mean, there are people at Microsoft that probably don't want him there.
No. And the shit that he pulled with Jen O'Neill, No. He is not a culture fit in the same way that Bobby Kotick is not a culture fit for Microsoft. No.
There's a lot of people actually on the executive team over at Activision Blizzard that just...
I think
just
Brian Bulateo, I think... Fran Townsend, torture apologist, is gone. I think that they are going to clean house once that deal closes. And here's part of why. I think Microsoft knew going in that there's going to be a lot of focus, rightfully so, on the labor issues and the toxic work environment at Activision. So they tweeted out.
So let's dive into that.
Quote, Xbox is committed to our journey for inclusion in every aspect of gaming. We hold all teams to this commitment. We're looking forward to extending our culture of proactive inclusion to the great teams across Activision Blizzard. There are some things going on right now, and I don't know if the avalanche is going to stop. Let's talk about unionization first. Union cards have been distributed. Microsoft may be acquiring a union company.
Great. I hope they do.
What is that going to mean for all of the other studios?
It could mean that it has a ripple effect. It could mean that it could spread out to studios like 343, and then it ripples out from there.
I have seen some comments online, and I agree. Given what's going on, Phil Spencer and Satya Nadella need to actually come out and say something about unionization.
They absolutely do need to, especially Phil. Less Satya, but definitely Phil.
If it's coming from Phil, though, you know that it has Satya's blessing.
Exactly, which is why I'm saying that if it comes from Phil, we already know what Satya stands behind whatever Phil says.
Yep. The other thing we need to talk about is the ongoing Raven QA strike. Obviously, Microsoft cannot do anything. It's very unlikely this strike is going to be lasting into 2023.
But
we have a problem here.
We have an enormous problem.
Microsoft is purchasing a huge tornado of toxicity.
Right. And what does that say to the women that have that have been affected by all of this, especially because they have worked in toxic work environments that were specifically hostile to them? What does it say to the people of color that Microsoft can swoop in, purchase Activision Blizzard, and Kotick will fly away on his golden parachute and make close to $1 billion?
Yep.
It's horrid.
The other thing that, of course, Phil Spencer can't comment on, But we talked about yesterday the EEOC settlement for a paltry $18 million.
I still can't get over that. Especially looking at what happened with Riot, mm-hmm. right? Like $100 million for their settlement.
I just want to know. So there's a lot of questions swirling, and I don't think...
And what does this mean for developers? What is this... What, not just the workers at Activision Blizzard, but what does this mean for the industry at large? Seeing this amount of consolidation, there are so many questions that we have that are not going to be answered for, my God, for years at this point.
I just hope that all of these companies, and I'm including Sony and Microsoft and EA and Take-Two, are good custodians for the people who are coming to work for them through these acquisitions.
Absolutely. And I mean, EA has certainly gotten a lot better over the years. They're nowhere near perfect. But if we look at what their track record has been since, I guess, 2019 was their last big round of layoffs, right? Mm-hmm. That was the last time that we saw any enormous layoffs in the industry at all, was in 2019. 2020, I think we had a few small studio closures, but nothing that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
Right.
One of my big issues with this level of consolidation does come down to the people. What is Take-Two going to do with Zynga? Are they mm-hmm. going to let their people founder? What are they? Are they going to absorb them in and make them work on not forever franchises, which isn't good for Zynga? You know, what's going to happen with these Call of Duty studios? Do you free them?
Yeah. Does Toys for Bob get to go make games that are perfect for them? Does Vicarious get to go do?
What does Vicarious do without Jen? You know, like... Yeah. These are the big questions that I have, because what I care about at the end of the day...
Hold on a second. Why couldn't Phil Spencer right now reach out to Jen O'Neill and say, come work for me? And then when the merger...
Why would she want to come back to the Storm?
Because she'd be working for Microsoft. And then have a way to actually the change that she wants to change. Again, she's a human being. Like, she's not a pawn on a chessboard.
I would imagine that she's got to feel her heartbreak.
Yep.
She's got to feel that heartbreak. And you know what? If she does end up back working at Vicarious, I hope that she does amazing, brilliant, beautiful things.
Oh, no. You misunderstand me.
Oh, you mean to work at Microsoft proper.
Or post-deal close. Bye-bye, Mike Ibarra.
She takes over.
As the head of Activision Blizzard.
She would be amazing. She would be amazing. Honestly, I would have so many Jen O'Neills running in the industry if I could. Because she's so talented and she's so smart and she's so dialed in. Like, no doubt. It's like her and a bunch of other incredible people in this industry. Like, this industry is full of so many amazing women and people of color. And yes, men too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But... from my perspective, what I care about at the end of the day is what this means for developers, what this means for workers, and what this means for the greater, for the industry at large.
Yep.
And we don't know what it looks like.
I think at the end of the day, I have to go back to a comment that Bobby Kotick made and said, he said that if he couldn't fix the problems, he would leave. Well, here we are. And I, as the Wall Street Journal reported, and I think that common sense dictates he's not going to survive.
He can't fit in that culture.
He will leave.
Gaming is for everyone is not his refrain. He doesn't care about gaming.
It's not just gaming is for everyone. Like, I don't want to be a gatekeeper. I don't believe that you need to be a game player to be successful in this industry, obviously.
No, I don't believe that either.
But I do think that
there are plenty of amazing people that work in this industry that actually don't play a ton of games, but they do a really good job of, you know, helping other people realize their dreams, producing great products and experiences, and, you know, like, making beautiful art or writing beautiful stories, like...
But Bobby Kotick doesn't love games and he doesn't love people.
No.
He's the worst fit for Microsoft. And I look at the people who we see as the most compassionate, the most dialed in, the most human in the executive offices at these companies. And they're people, not just because they play games. It's not because they play games.
No, it's because they love the people that make games.
And beyond that, they have some understanding of the passion that goes into that medium and the hurt that comes out of the medium.
Yeah.
And want to cure it.
Yep. And they don't want to be the source of the heartbreak.
Yep. And I think that is one way in which Phil Spencer has been really, really successful. We have our eye on this consolidation issue. We are worried.
It's concerning.
It's concerning from a power centralization issue. It's a concerning from what happens on the back end of the cycle when studios are closed, when people are laid off.
When the contraction of the last 2 years finally starts to happen.
Yes.
Because again, that's another thing that I'm going to be touching on in my trends piece is that's what we're keeping an eye on for this year. What is going to happen with contraction? Mm-hmm.
So we'll close with this. Microsoft had their call today. On the call, they talked a lot about the metaverse. Ugh. Nobody knows what the hell that word means. It's nonsense. I think it was partially to appease...
It was CYA.
It was CYA, but also I really think that it's just a matter of we just want to own the next internet type thing. So there's that piece. The other thing, obviously, they're very interested in King. They're very interested in mobile. Phil was humble. He said, I look forward to learning from those teams because he does not have a mobile background.
No, he does not.
And Microsoft and Xbox have not really been focused in mobile, but mobile is so important to them right now.
Yes.
Because of Xbox Cloud Gaming.
Correct. And Xbox Cloud Gaming is an important piece of Xbox's strategy going forward. This isn't necessarily about the companies. It's about the players. They are going from reaching millions of players to billions of players.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's really, from day one, what we understood about what Phil Spencer wanted for his team at Xbox.
Yep.
Gaming is for everyone. We're going to bring gaming to the world.
And with that, we will have our eye on the culture clash that is Microsoft and Activision Blizzard.
And we obviously will be holding them accountable.
Absolutely. There are two parallel stories now. Obviously, we have the ongoing labor story at Activision Blizzard and, of course, elsewhere. And all of the problems that Microsoft is inheriting. And, of course, the progress of this deal. It's going to be a long year. There is going to be a lot more that we learn. There's going to be a lot that we want to know that we won't hear because of the jumping the gun issue.
And there's going to be some clarification on things that we don't know.
Yep.
Potentially. Mm. And we are going to come back to the table and be like, well, here's what we learned. Here's how we were wrong. Or here's how we were right. We actually foresaw this. And this is pretty cool.
So lots of interesting stuff to come. This is the beginning of the story, not the end.
Absolutely. So on this very special under an hour episode, but over the half hour that I thought it was going to be.
This is a big story.
It is a big story. I don't think we've had a story like this in
ever. Quite a while, yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a story Bethesda. Like this. No, because this is even bigger than Bethesda. I think when Activision bought Blizzard, I think that was...
Well, for me, it was when they bought out their... Vivendi. They spun off of Vivendi. Yeah
when they that was a big out. One. Absolutely. So thank you for listening to the Virtual Economy Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Virtual Econcast. And I am back from my Twitter hiatus. So you can also follow me. I am at Amanda Farrow.
And I am at Footerish, FUTTERISH. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed at virtualeconcast.com. You can listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and there's one more.
Pocket Sand.
All right in the face. Please subscribe and, if possible, review the show. Let us know what you think.
You can also DM us with questions, or you can send them to podcast@fsquared.biz. We also have Signal. So if you have anything super secret and you want to chat with us, or you just want it to be confidential, private, whatever, and you know that those messages are going to die, go off into the internet ether, you can DM at Virtual Econcast and we'll give you our Signal numbers.
Absolutely. We have been writing. We had our top 10 lists, first half of our trends piece, second half of the trends piece going live this week. And we'll be doing a little bit more writing. Discord, I actually handed out an invitation today. So we have a new member of our community. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So if you are interested in joining our Discord community, which, as you might expect, was hopping today, hit us up on the Twitters and we will get you an invite.
So we will be back, I guess, this weekend at some point. Not really sure when yet, because my goodness.
Yes.
We will see. But remember to wash your hands, stay hydrated, and be good to one another.
We'll see you soon.